Morning.
Morning.
Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. We'll be in verses 16 through 18. Now, to this point in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he's making it known to us, whether we're reading it or hearing it preached. He's making known to us that we cannot, by this flesh, we cannot make ourselves righteous. We're not going to justify ourselves by our works, nor are we going to sanctify ourselves by our works in this flesh, or by this flesh. Salvation, the Lord teaches us, is not determined by the things that we do or don't do. Paul, in the next chapter, in Galatians 6, verse 15, said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." A new creature. It's not whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. It's not whether you're doing works of righteousness or not doing works of righteousness, or avoiding sins. That's not what justifies you. That's not what sanctifies you. A new creature. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ is what justifies you. He's the one who makes his child righteous. He is our sanctification. He is our very sanctification. Nicodemus, our Lord said, ye must be born again. You must be a new creature. You're religious, Nicodemus. You do all these things according to the law, but you're not righteous, Nicodemus. You're not justified. You're not sanctifying yourself. You need to be born again. You must have a work of the Creator wrought in you, giving you the new creation, making you a new creature. And so this is what Christ, by his grace and power, this is what he does for his children. This is what he works in them. He makes them new creatures through spiritual regeneration. We're spiritually dead in Adam. That died. And the day you eat of that fruit, Adam, you shall surely die. And Adam died spiritually, and all his seed, every one of us in him, became corrupt and defiled and ruined in sin and come forth spiritually dead sinners, just like Adam. And so it's Christ that makes us new creatures. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And he removes those old things, that confidence, that self-righteousness, that enmity against God, whereby we try to establish our own righteousness by the things we do, that gets laid aside because now we see Christ and we're given faith to look to him and to trust him and to believe him and to meet with our God in peace and comfort and assurance in and established upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who does it. And so believers, we hear this truth. God makes it so that we hear it. We're called by the gospel, and the Spirit makes it effectual to our hearts so that we receive that word and rejoice in it, in the new man. In the new man, we rejoice in what our Savior has done for us. And so the question is, if Christ has done this for me, why do I yet struggle? Why do I yet feel the temptation? Why do I yet feel the presence of sin in my members? My flesh, the things I do with my hands and where I go with my feet, the things I think in my heart and in my mind, the things I say, or at least think, the things I think to do, whether I do them or not, just why do I see this corruption yet in my members, in my flesh? Why is this so if I am a new creature in Christ? When Rebecca had conceived a child in her womb, because her husband, who loved her, prayed, because she wasn't conceiving a child, and her husband Isaac prayed for her to the Lord, and she conceived a child in her womb, and it was a time of rejoicing. She had a child, finally. She knew she was carrying a child, and yet there was this war going on within her at this joyful time, this wonderful time that she was bearing life in her womb, and she was troubled because there was this commotion, this war, this struggle going on within her. It says the children in Genesis 25, 22, it said the children struggled within her. And she said, if it be so, if I'm carrying a child, I don't know that she knew she had twins at the time, but she said, if I'm blessed now to carry a child, why am I thus? How is this way? Why is it so, this war going on in me? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Isn't that your cry, believer? Isn't that your cry? Aren't you troubled by the war going on in you? If I'm born again, why am I thus? And by the grace of God, you go to your God to inquire of him. You pray to him. You confess your sin and your trouble to him and pray, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, keep my wandering heart. Lord, save me. So this is the living soul's great trouble. But there is a great relief. There is a great relief which the Father has provided for you, child of God, in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord doesn't leave his child without a witness. He makes it known in his word that within every child of God there are two natures warring against one another. There's two natures. There remains in us this old nature of flesh, this old Adamic nature of flesh. And there is now, born in us, wrought in us, not by our works, but by Christ, a new righteous nature. Born, created, made of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And these two are at war with each other. They are contrary to one another. They don't love the same things. They don't share in the same things. They're at war. They're in a constant war and struggle with one another. Now, the issue for the Galatians is that they were being turned to the flesh by going back to the law to fix this, to right this, to help them in this struggle, this war going on, to accomplish by the law what only the new nature of Christ can accomplish in us. And so they went back to the flesh by going back to the law. They were turning to the flesh in turning to the law. And so that's what Paul is addressing in this letter, and that's what Paul is addressing in these verses, 16 through 18. The thing to understand here is that Paul links the lust of the flesh, he links it to being under the law. The lust of the flesh is that fallen nature of Adam, which we still are in, that this fallen nature of Adam, and being under the law is still this, we're still in this fallen nature of Adam, we're still working by the flesh, but with a religious flair to it, a little religion mixed in. So this lust of the flesh is what we are in Adam, and going back to the law is what we are in Adam, but now with some religion sprinkled on it. Just worked in there, a little religion. Our Lord said it this way in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so Paul makes it very clear when he says in verse 18, Galatians 5:18, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's not your rule of life. Christ is our rule. Christ is our all. He's all our salvation. And I'll even quote this from Galatians 3, verse 12, because the law is not of faith, but he that doeth the law shall live in it. He better do it nonstop, perfectly, without failure, because that's his righteousness. And the law is not of faith, it's of doing. You better do it, and you better do it perfectly, is what the law says. And so the man that doeth them shall live in them. So I've titled this, The Living Soul's Great Relief. The Living Soul's Great Relief. We know what the trouble is. We want to hear about the relief. So let's read this whole text in verse 16 through 18 of Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, know this, understand this, you're not under the law. He's saying that because that's exactly what the Galatians were doing. They were going back under the law. Now, first, only a regenerated person can walk by the Spirit. So we're talking about believers here. We're talking about believers. This is to us, whose hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is written to us. But regeneration does not change this flesh. Regeneration doesn't change this flesh. My fleshly nature is not, right now, it's not changed. And regeneration doesn't improve this flesh. It doesn't reform this flesh and make it better. This flesh is still unimproved, unchanged. It's still corrupt. It's still evil and vile and full of sin. Now, I know that in religion, there are many who do boast of their progressive sanctification. And what that boils down to is, I am holier today than I was yesterday by the things I'm practicing and focusing on in the law and working on myself. So I'm a little better today than I was yesterday. And that type of speech doesn't give glory to God. It focuses on the creature, and it's boasting of the creature, and it talks about what we do and what we've done for the Lord. And John wrote in 1 John 1:8, he said, if we say that we have not, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, we're lying to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are sinners. I'm as much of a sinner now as I was before I believed. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not making excuses, and I'm not trying to give myself a cloak for unrighteousness, to hide behind this and give myself an excuse and to make it acceptable that I sin. I'm not saying, well, that's why Christ died, so I can go and sin. Not at all. We don't talk like that. That's not what the Spirit teaches us to say. Our hope is in Christ. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do those things that betray the very hope I have in the Lord Jesus Christ that are contrary to that weigh me down and beset me with sin and just keep me down. I don't want to do those things. All right? The Spirit doesn't give us that. But the Scriptures do teach that the Lord grows us in grace. But grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter wrote at the end of 2 Peter 3. Grow. So the Lord does grow us in grace. We learn of him, doesn't he? He as we read his word, and he blesses that word to our understanding, as we come and are gathered together to hear the word preached, it's for our good. The Lord's instructing us so that we see him. He proves our faith through trials, showing himself to be faithful to us over and over again. Our love for him deepens as we see his love and patience and kindness and forgiveness toward us. The more we see of Christ and what he's done for us, we do love him. And we are more committed. I see it right here. And you that are gathered here, we see that commitment because the Lord has taught you and shown you the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important to you. There's nothing more blessed to you because the Spirit has given that to you. He's taught you. He's taught you and gathered you here for that very word. We are matured by the Lord, and we give him all the thanks for that. We do grow in his grace. And while my outward acts of sin may be constrained and hidden more and more, right? Because we do learn, I shouldn't say those things. No, I should not do those things. That's folly. I don't want to do that. And so my outward sins are constrained, but I still know that in me dwells no good thing in this flesh. in my heart, in my mind, I'm still a vile, wretched sinner in need of the grace of God always. I never outgrow the need for my Savior, Jesus Christ. I feel my sin worse now than when I first believed, because I see more and more the deceitfulness of sin and how crafty, how tricky, how deceitful I am, and the things I'll do to try and give myself some means of committing some lust of the flesh and whatever it is, right? So I see it, though. And so I see, wow, I didn't know what a sinner I really was and how much I need the Lord Jesus Christ now. So we see him more and more. Now turn over to Romans 7, because Paul speaks to this in Romans 7, and we'll pick up in verse 18 and read down to verse 25. This is Paul's confession as a believer, as an apostle, called of Christ to preach this gospel to others, to trace it out for us, for our good, our help, and our edification. And so this is Paul's confession, but if we're honest, it's my confession too. Paul says in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." Right? I'm a new creature in Christ. I want to be perfect in Christ and walking him perfectly always. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't change my old nature. For the good that I would do, that I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's this law of sin still present in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after that creation which Christ has made in me. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. It's still present there. I can't shake it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And that law of God that Paul speaks of there is the law of faith, the law of liberty, the law of the Spirit, that I am delivered from the punishment and death that I deserved and my sins, and I live in Christ. But presently, I still see that law of sin in my members. I still see that when I would do good, evil's right there. That old man, that old flesh is right there with me, troubling me, seeking to oppose that which I would do in the new man, in Christ. And so we see this corruption in us, but we love the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we love him. And our hope is fixed in him. The Lord puts our hope not in what we're doing or not doing in this flesh, but our hope is fixed yet in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that isn't taken away. We're not turned again to the law to try and fix it. We are turned to Christ, and that's grace. That's grace that turns us back to Christ and keeps us looking to him. So Paul wrote in verse 17, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And the truth of that means, in its purity there, it means that anyone walking in the Spirit, when you're in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you cannot fulfill the lusts of the flesh, is what he's saying there. But he that's in the Spirit is not going to fulfill, right? We since that law is still present with us, he that's in the Spirit is not going to fulfill that which the flesh would do to its end, which would bring us to complete destruction and ruin eternally. That's what the flesh would do. It would keep us ever rebelling against God and having no part in him and seeking a refuge from him, as Adam and Eve sought to do. The Spirit does not allow that to happen, so that we can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can't go to its full end of utter destruction and being eternally separated from our God. And so Paul declares, walk in the Spirit, and that's understood by faith in the new man. Walk in the Spirit, look to Christ, trust him. You keep looking to Christ, believing him. But don't make the mistake of turning to the law. Don't think that you're going to turn to the flesh by the works of the law to fix this and to rid yourself of that law of sin in your members. It's not going to happen because the law is not of faith. And so anyone who tries to oppose the flesh, the law of the flesh in my members by the law of Moses, he's telling us you're walking by the flesh. You're still walking by the flesh, but you just have a little religion sprinkled into it. And that's not fooling God. God's not mocked. He's not going to be mocked. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. And it's going to stir up that enmity and rebellion in us. And it certainly isn't going to put our eyes on Christ, but it's going to put our eyes on the flesh. Unless the Spirit says, what are you doing? Like, you're looking at the law, and you should be looking at Christ. Go and inquire of him. Not to Moses, you're the epistle of Christ. Not Moses' epistle, you're Christ's epistle. You walk in the Spirit. So Paul tells us that walking in the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. If ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, Paul, let's look at verse 17 here. Paul says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now this is where he's explaining the principle of walking in the Spirit, which opposes the flesh. All right, this is where he's explaining this principle, this truth here. These two natures are like opposing armies. They're at war against one another, so that the one cannot do what the one would do, and the other one can't do it either. They're not to the degree that they would do it. And so, by the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We're not going to be brought to utter destruction and be destroyed and find our lasting habitation in hell. That's what the flesh would do. But we do see this, that my prayers, if we're being honest, my prayers are full of distraction. My love is still yet cold. My service still involves pride. I still see self in my worship. I still see the failings of the members of my flesh. Every one of us knows that this very day we've all sinned. We've all walked in here with some sin, some wicked thought, some foolish idea, some judgment of another. We're all just full of sin. And it's always there present with us, even though in the new man, we love one another. We love our Lord. We cannot sin. As Paul, 1 John 3:9 says, he that's born has the seed of Christ, that new man cannot sin, period. That which is born of the Spirit cannot sin, cannot not believe. All we can do is believe and trust the Lord. And yet even in my faith, there's unbelief, and there's doubt, and there's worry and fears. Even as in the new man, believing the Lord. And so we want to pray, we want to serve, we want to worship the Lord. We want to believe him fully, completely, without any stain, without any scent of the corruption and wretchedness of sin in us. But this flesh is contrary to the Spirit, so that I cannot do the things that I would, as Paul said. I cannot do them without this law of sin being present in my members. That's what he means. So, with that being said, we still thank, by the grace of God, we thank our God through the Lord Jesus Christ for his Spirit, because his Spirit keeps me from fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. He's the one that keeps me. He's the one that doesn't turn me loose to the lusts of this flesh, but keeps me and turns me back to himself, ever showing me my desperate need of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God in him, because I see I cannot do what I would do. I cannot do what I should do. I can't do it by my works in the flesh. I need the grace of God in Christ. And so this flesh would destroy us, but because of Christ, it can. Cannot do it. Cannot have its way to fulfillment. And I've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and have his Spirit, and he by his grace keeps me, and he by his grace delivers me and keeps me ever looking to him, and we give him all the glory for it. We don't boast. He knows how to humble us too and chasten us and bring us low in ourselves, so that our boasting and our foolish thoughts of ourselves cease and we give him all the praise and the glory. Now, David, in Psalm 73, if you want to see this there, Psalm 73, verse 22 through 24, speaks of it in this way. He actually outlines it this way. So in Psalm 73, verse 22, 23 and 24, we'll look at them. David confesses here in verse 22, "So foolish was I." And that word, being a fool, is not a good word. It's one who doubts God, who doesn't believe God, who rebels against the true and living God. And he says, "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." And he's confessing, in my flesh, I'm a sinner. I was doing wickedly. I was going down the path of fulfilling the lust of my flesh. And you that hope in Christ, whose hope is Christ and not the law, not your religion, not what you're doing here, you who hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because you've seen Christ, is it not? You've seen Christ. It's more than just the hearing of the ear. You've seen Christ. He's shown you over and over again, as often as needed, he's shown you the depths of your sin and the depravity of your own heart as often as was needed, some more, some less. He shows you what we are in this flesh, that we would see our need of him. For example, this is in Scripture, Job, in Job 42, verse 5 and 6, he said, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear. I've gone to services. I partook in the sacrifices. I did those things I was supposed to do. I prayed for my kids. I kept myself unspotted from doing the things that they would do and others would do. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore? Because I see you, the perfectness, the holiness of God. Because I see you, now I abhor myself. I hate my works, and I repent in dust and ashes." Peter saw him, right? And he got down on his face and said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinner. I'm a wicked man. Lord, don't depart from me." Paul, when he saw him in the third heaven, he knew, I thought I was holy. I thought I was doing righteousness by my works. But now I've seen the holiness of God, the glory of God, seated on his throne, surrounded by the angels and the hosts of heaven, worshiping him who is holy, holy, holy. What am I? Lord, don't see me in the works of that book over there, the ones that trace out my works. Lord, I don't want to come in my paltry, see-through, transparent, flimsy works. But Lord, see me in, I want my name to be in that book, the book of the Lamb's book of life. And see me in his holiness and perfection, not my works. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. And it wasn't just Job and Peter and Paul, but even Isaiah. He was a prophet already in Isaiah 6:5. When he saw the Lord sitting in heaven with the train filling the whole area, the whole court of the Lord. And he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I've been preaching," he says, "I've been teaching the people as a prophet and as a man of God. I've been teaching people, and now I see, having seen the Lord, my lips are filthy. I don't know the half of it. Lord, have mercy on me." And I can't even step down, he says, and be taught by the others, because I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips just like me. We're all sinners. We're all sinners, every one of us. And he says, how do I know this? For I've seen, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So that's what the Lord does. He shows us his glory. He shows us his perfection. He shows us how holy, holy, holy he is to a degree. I mean, we still haven't seen it, but to a degree, to know I'm a sinner. I don't dare come to God boasting of what I've done. I come to him with my face on the ground by his grace, begging him for mercy for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for what he's done, to be found washed in his blood and standing in him alone. And then Psalm 73, verse 23, now we see that grace. Even though I'm a sinner, we see the grace of God. Nevertheless, David says, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. You've given me the Spirit, and by your Spirit I'm kept. It's not because I'm so good. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're the one keeping me and holding me so that the Lord keeps us. He cleanses our guilty conscience so that we're not hardened and go off and fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but are turned again to cry out and being washed, because we are washed in his blood, and we cry out, Lord, wash me, forgive me, heal me, restore my soul, wash me anew, renew in me a right spirit, because I've been such a fool, so full of folly and wickedness. And then verse 24, we see this. He says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. There's our hope. It's all in God. I am the sinner. I am the sinner saved by grace, the grace of God in Christ, and by his grace I know that I shall stand before him, accepted of him, not because of my righteousness, but because of his. And so he taught David what Paul by the Spirit is teaching us right now in Galatians. Don't be turned to the law. Look to Christ. Walk in the Spirit, rejoicing in that hope which he's given us by faith. So remember these things from this passage. Though you sorrow for your sin, you see your need of Christ, and you know your need of Christ because he's shown you your need. Rejoice in that. But remember these things from this passage. Our believing Christ and following him, it's not the work of this flesh. And you're not going to make that happen by turning to the law, because that's just turning to the flesh. That's turning you away from Christ. You go and inquire of the Lord. You cry and breathe out by the Spirit. Well, that's the Spirit does it. I don't even know what to tell you, but to confess your sin and to cry out to him. And we don't know what to say, but thanks be to God for the Spirit who groans with things that cannot be uttered. He knows what to say, and he knows how to keep us, and he knows exactly how to instruct us and deal with each one of us personally. But we're all sinners, and we need the same thing. He just does it in different ways to the glory and praise of his name. And second, the Spirit prevents my flesh from going as far as it would. And the flesh prevents the Spirit in me from going as far as it would in prayer and love and service and our worship and our faith. But these two natures, understand, these two natures are going to be with us till the very end. These two natures, until we die and these bodies lie in the dust, we're going to be this way. And as an example, I'll just tell you, go to Genesis 25, write it down, sister, 25, verse 8 and 9. In 8, we're told that Abraham died. Abraham died and was laid to rest. And in verse 9, it says, and Isaac and Ishmael buried him. Right up to the very end, you see Ishmael, which was Abraham's attempt to accomplish the promises of God by his own works of flesh. And then you see Isaac, who was the work of God according to the promise of God for Abraham. And both those two boys, a picture of our two natures, were with him right up to the end, and they buried him. And that's how we'll be buried. Right? We still have this old fleshly nature, But we have the Spirit of Christ, and we are washed in his blood. And though we lie down, that way we shall be, though we are sown corrupted, we shall be raised incorruptible. And though we be sown in mortality, we shall be raised in immortality, in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Don't go making Ishmaels. We will, but don't do it. Don't set your heart on that. Trust the Lord to bring forth Isaac, that promise in you by his grace. Amen.